Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Greetings to you this morning from your fellow workers in Christ's mission at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Greetings to you from our Board of Regents, our faculty, our staff, but especially from our students who are preparing to be pastors, deaconesses, lay leaders, and missionaries here in the United States and in all the world. It is good to be with you at what I call the best-named church in the entire Missouri Synod. And that's not just because my given name is Lawrence. It is good to be here. Our text is from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 13, verses 22 through 30. Please hear the word of our Lord. Jesus went on his way through towns and villages, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. And someone said to him, "Lord, will those who are saved be few?" And he, Jesus, said to them, "Strive to enter through the narrow door. For many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. When once the master of the house has risen and shut the door, and you begin to stand outside and to knock at the door, saying, 'Lord, open to us,' then he will answer you, 'I do not know where you come from.' Then you will begin to say, 'We ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets.' But he will say, 'I tell you, I do not know where you come from. Depart from me, all you workers of evil.' In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourselves cast out. And people will come from east and west and from north and south and recline at table in the kingdom of God. And behold, some who are last will be first, and some who are first will be last." These words of our Lord are challenging, are they not? They're almost frightening. All you workers of evil, you will be cast out. All you workers of evil. It's typical Jesus. He doesn't leave anyone comfortable. He comes directly at his hearers. Much of the time, they want to be affirmed in what it is they are already doing. "Lord, give me a little comfort in my place and in my actions." And he won't allow it. And so we have this remarkable story where he says, "Strive to enter by the narrow door." Several years ago, my wife and I were involved in a remodeling project. I say my wife and I, it was mostly me, and that's why it went wrong. We were remodeling the bathroom at the president's house and on the campus in Fort Wayne in this very awkwardly shaped house. It's a brilliant piece of architecture on paper. Everything is at a 23.5 degree angle, built on 5'6" grid, which means nothing fits. Nothing. So we, Amy and I, having aging parents, redid the bathroom on the main floor so that her mom and dad and my father would have access to the shower and the other necessities of the room in an easy fashion. And we planned everything out. We went through all the steps, and we tried to be frugal. We are both German and Scottish, after all. But we also wanted things to be nice and useful. And so we planned it all out. and everything was just right. Except for one thing. The door. The door was too narrow for a wheelchair. But I never thought of measuring that. A door's a door. No, a door is not just a door. And so all of the plans for the interior proved to be fruitless because you couldn't get in. And we should have realized this ourselves. A narrow door made it hard even for us to get in. We have to stage our movement in this part of the house because you can't fit two people in there at the same time trying to get through that narrow door. You get the point. If the door isn't right, the room ends up useless. Strive to enter through the narrow door, says Jesus. Do you think his hearers got it? I'm not sure. Because if you look at this unnamed someone who approached Jesus, they confront him with a question that seems, at least to me, to desire affirmation. Lord, will those who are saved be few? This someone, I think, is expecting the answer of yes. And you're one of them. Good job. But instead, what does Jesus do? Again, very typically, Jesus doesn't answer their question directly. He could do this with a word or two. But instead, poses an issue that doesn't seem to have direct application to the question itself. Strive to enter through the narrow door. Strive. Strive. Now, as soon as we hear that word from Jesus, what we ought to be thinking to ourselves is, am I that someone who simply wants affirmation? Well, yes, you're one of the few. You've actually done the job. You are actually right with God by virtue of your own works. You are one of those chosen few that has actually kept the will of the Lord. But of course, we know we're not. And in fact, we've already admitted as much this morning. Our first act in this service was to say to the Lord, I have not been striving to enter through the narrow door. In fact, my thoughts, my words, my deeds, those things that I've done, those things I've left undone, all of these have been at odds with your will. That narrow door is too narrow for me. Think about that again for a minute. That's a remarkable confession on our part, and it's right and proper that we think in those ways. For we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We all are among those who are, by virtue of our sinful nature, born outside the kingdom of God. And that's where we differ from this someone here, because they presumed to have a status with the Lord by virtue of their family. Now, I've already mentioned that my given name is Lawrence. There are five Lawrences in the Rast line. I'm number four, even though my proper name is Junior. My great-grandfather was the first, and then there have been four since, including my son, who is named Lawrence as well. Sometimes he likes that fact, sometimes he's not so sure. But the point being that we know our place in our family history. Now that's something that resonates with a congregation like St. Lawrence. After all, 175 years in this place, God has been at work sharing the gospel through his called preachers and through you. For even as the Father sent Jesus, so is he sending you, your predecessors, you today, and those who will come later. God is at work, calling, gathering, enlightening, sanctifying the whole Christian church here in Frankenmuth, in Michigan, and throughout the world. God's work. And it's a great heritage. It's a marvelous thing to celebrate. And it's wonderful to remember what God has done, is doing, and will continue to do through this congregation. But we must never presume. We must never become complacent. We must always, by the power of the Holy Spirit, strive. Strive ourselves to enter through the narrow door and lead others through that narrow door as well, sharing the gospel as we are given the opportunity. For, as we know, and as we have confessed, we may not presume anything. We may not assume any place in the kingdom of God on the basis of our own thoughts, words, and deeds. We're not like that someone here who basically was making the argument that his fellow Jews made in John chapter 8. Maybe you remember it. We are sons and daughters of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone, they said to Jesus. And Jesus responds how? Two ways. One, to say, God can make sons and daughters out of Abraham, out of these rocks that are right here. You're not so special. And he also reminds them what? You've never been enslaved to anyone? What about those 400 plus years when you were slaves in Egypt? 400 years, it's easy to forget, right? That's the presumption of we human beings. I'm simply right by virtue of my association. I can say I'm the fourth Lawrence, therefore all is good with me. But in fact, in looking at myself, I know I need to hear that word of God. I need someone to preach to me. I need to be convicted of my sin, but I need more than that to hear of the gracious love of God for me in Christ. For this is his great work of love and mercy for us. Strive to enter through that narrow door. It sounds terrifying until we remember what? Jesus is the door. Jesus is the door. And he came into this world specifically knowing that you and I cannot, do not, will not strive to find that entrance. And so he becomes that entrance for us. You and I will not keep the law of God. We refuse. We break it every day. We break it even now. Sunday morning, this week will be different. This is how we always said it when my kids were younger. This week's going to be a good week. This week, we will have peace in the Rast household. Specifically, when we make our way to St. Paul Lutheran Church in Fort Wayne. It's about a 5-mile drive from the seminary downtown to St. Paul. And it's amazing to me how much sin can happen in that 5-mile stretch. And you know how it goes with the father driving along and the kids becoming restless, shall we say. Me yelling at them, I'll stop this car right now and put you out. In the peace of the Lord. And by the time I get to the service, the last thing I'm thinking about is peace. All I'm thinking is, I want to wring these kids' necks. And of course, they're no happier with me. And my poor wife is trying to deal with the chaos. This week didn't start off so well, did it? And how much better does it get? Thought, word, deed, what we've done, what we've left undone. The striving to enter through the narrow door ends in failure and could end in despair for me. Except Jesus is the door. And he has kept God's law perfectly for you. Every act of his life was a purposeful action for you. Where your actions transgress God's law, his kept God's law for you. And his suffering and death was in your place for you. His action. Our inaction, therefore, is made right as covered by his action. And God the Father affirms this by raising him from the dead on the third day, showing that his perfect life, his sacrificial death, is accepted, and the door to heaven is thrown open. The curtain in the temple, torn in two, the way to God, no longer is shut down, but it is wide open for those who believe in Jesus Christ. God for us. And of course, on a mission weekend like this one then, we recall our response. And we are energized to respond to this great mercy of God in Christ. And we think about how we, as a congregation, as a larger synod, how we as individuals can point people to that open door who is Jesus. Oh, but I'm not trained in this, Pastor. I don't know what to say. Well, for many of us, that may be true. Others of us have been trained professionally to do so. But here's the basic point. God puts people into your life that you can invite to be a part of this community each and every day. First, family, co-workers, friends, simply to be friends to them and pointing them to Jesus. You don't have to make careful theological speeches. Leave that to the pastor. Or maybe you have that expertise. If so, use that as well. But above all, point them to the open door. Because in their lives, there are many closed doors. Maybe you've heard the saying, God never closes one door without opening another. And now one of your pastors has a call to, of all places, Oregon, from which he hails. And you wonder, what will he do? And we don't know what God's plans are there. But we do know this. If Pastor Marks follows that call, God will provide you with another shepherd. He has done so faithfully over and over since 1845. You think he will stop now? He'll continue. And he will continue to be merciful and to guide and to empower this congregation in this community so that it impacts his mission here and throughout the world. Sometimes it seems so simple, doesn't it? Here we are gathered at the congregation itself, or later on we'll be out in the grove. And we wonder, well, we come together, does it really have any impact? But the truth of the matter is that God the Holy Spirit is at work, is present in our midst now, and is working for the sake of the gospel to strengthen his church in mission and to call all those who need the gospel of Christ to faith in him. That's just what God does. So, my narrow door. Every morning, the first door I see is that narrow door in the useless bathroom. Isn't that a great way to start a day? You blew it on this one. But we managed. We found some workarounds, and we go forward. It's not perfect, but what in human life is? Nothing. We look forward to perfection, when we're in heaven with our Lord. We look forward to his return. In the meantime, we struggle in this life. And sometimes the struggles are small ones, like doors. Sometimes they're big ones, particularly in families and among friends. But what the Lord calls us to is the perfect door, Jesus Christ, the one who suffered, died, and rose again to throw open the door to heaven, your Savior, your door to everlasting life. And now, as his own dear child, one redeemed by the blood of Jesus, and one who has the promise of heaven because of his resurrection, he calls you to his mission and pointing others to the life that is to come in Jesus Christ. May you be blessed this mission celebration and into the future, 175 years now and many more to come, all by the grace of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Please rise. And the peace of God that passes all understanding, safeguard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.